is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cross.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
So we started yesterday pinpointing very important things. Okay, so we are going to run because I've not actually entered my teaching, but I suppose that it will not be good for us to enter into this teaching without giving a refresher course, without coming, it's just like a crash course, just trying to remind you what you already know or you are supposed to know. Maybe you have known and you have forgotten them. One of the key proofs of a good teaching ministry is to keep emphasizing spiritual truths in several ways until it sinks in. His holiness, purity, prayer, whatever it is, you keep teaching it in several ways. You can even change the topic. But by the time you are through with teaching, we have found out that we still learned that thing. You keep teaching it until it sinks in. Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. We are considering the essential newness of the new creation. Okay, we have not really gotten into the depth of the topic because the topic is resting upon some unshakable foundations. And it is needful that we visit those foundations so that as we make an advancement, you will find out it's not as if we are saying something new, but we are trying to show you what is it in the things that we believe that are even the more important things. So there are the essential things. Part of the questions we answer is, what is it in the new creation that is actually new? What is actually new in the new creature? And in what ways are the things that are new, new? I know it doesn't look like much to you, but it makes all the difference. What is new? And in what ways are the things new, new? Let me give you a literal example. John chapter 3, verse 3, the scripture, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asked him a valid question. My brother, he asked him, does it mean I'll have to go into my mother's womb? The response of Jesus shows us exactly what we actually mean by new and what are the things in the new that became new. You will notice that in the new creature that we discuss, just we have not gone there, that the you that was giving birth to your mother is not one of the things that became new. So we need to consider what are those things about you that actually became new in the new. What is the new creature? And in what ways do we say that this thing became new? Very important. It will help you to know the essentials that God focused on. Part of the reason why God focuses on those essentials is because these are the things that will, if they are not the way they are, if God did not work concerning them, his purposes will be trapped. Are you getting what I'm saying? He actually tried to see if he can manage the execution of his purposes without a need for a new work. Listen to me. First thing you need to understand about God is not too keen in creating a lot of things. He creates things, he works, and puts his work around the pillars of principles, or what we can call pillars of laws. Are you getting what I'm saying? So much that anybody that gets to encounter the principle behind what God has worked 1,000 years ago, we also experience that work. When? Now. So that work, as long as God has worked it, is already worked. It is now hanging upon principles to make it to reach every single person that understands how that principle works. So God doesn't, He is not the kind of person that keeps walking, keeps walking. When he does something for me, when you come, he will now find another way to do your own. No. What he wants to do, he does it in a way, hangs it upon a law or a principle, such that any other person that cares to reach out to him through that principle will benefit. Doesn't matter your face, doesn't matter your foundation, doesn't matter your past. The things we speak about is hanging upon laws and principles. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that is why the most important law in this our Christian journey is actually the law of faith, because the faith is an equalizer. It makes it impossible for any man to say that he's not qualified, he doesn't meet up, because faith makes it in such a way that what you are receiving is not what you walked. Faith is what it takes to receive, or the means through which heaven gives out to everybody. Whether you are male or female, by faith you can be counted as qualified. You can just reach your hand and collect something. So if it is by faith that I receive, because if it is by works, are you with me? If it's by works, you can work harder than me. Are you getting it? I'm just giving an example. You can work harder than me, and if you worked harder than me, maybe you fasted for 90 days and received your own. It will mean that every other person that will receive that thing, we have to fast for at least what? 90. So if another person make it 91, it has moved from 90 to what? 91. If somebody make it, it will be like Guinness Book of Records. The scripture is not Guinness Book of Records. It is not the person that does more that holds the standard. It is heaven that holds the standard. We access by faith. Now, the thing about this faith now is that what you are you are not accessing, you are not trying to receive the ability to do things. You are receiving from what has already been done. If according to God's estimation, so this is how it happened, God works and you receive of the benefit of the work by what? Faith. Are you getting the point? And the reason why I said this is, even if God allows you to walk and you walk for 1,000 years, you will not be able to meet up with God's expectation. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm saying, if I can, what kind of work do you think I can do to deserve something from God? Hello, just tell me one. Just say one now. Huh? Yes, kindness or almsgiving. Say after me, almsgiving. Yes, you know, some part of the church believes that if somebody dies, you keep giving some things, they keep doing something, then if he's not born again, then he will now finally enter into heaven. Onyelala Moses. To believe that is to make a mockery of the sacrifice of Jesus. There is nothing else that can qualify any man. He didn't qualify you when you are alive, it's now when you died. It would have even made any sense when you are still alive, is when you have died. The fear in that is not because we don't have compassion. The fear in it is that you are trampling on the holy sacrifice of the Son of God. Are you getting the point? God said, this is what I want. I am satisfied. You are doing another thing. You are trying to tell God that that sacrifice is not qualified, that you would have done better if you are Jesus. That's what it means. So if you are walking after God has walked, you are saying you would have walked better than Jesus. So the scripture says, stop walking. What is there to walk? Jesus was telling that rich man, young man. He told him, he asked him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He says, stop doing things. Stop walking. What you need to walk, the walk here is to believe him who has what? Walked. Stop walking. Believe who has what? Walked. The reason why he's saying that is that you have to look at it logically. I'm not trying to bamboozle you. Even if they allow you to walk, according to God's estimation, you walk from now till you die, you will not even be able to meet up to the basic demand of being a Christian. Are you following what I'm saying? So God said, okay, in case you think He allowed Moses to walk. Allowed the children of Israel. They walked for years to prove to you that by that walk you cannot achieve the heart of God. So if you continued walking after God has proved through the children of Israel that all their attempt to walk cannot achieve righteousness, then you must be all men the most miserable. Because God, God used these men to reveal to you, you know who is Paul? Go and read his CV, Philippians chapter 3 from verse 1. Started reeling out his CV. When he finished, he said, I counted all these things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Are you getting the point? So as far as Paul is concerned, you see his CV. He said, amongst the Jewish sect, that he is in one of the strictest. And inside that strict sect, they rank him. The elders give him authority to go and execute their desires. He's a prince. Are you getting the point? When he finished, that man abandoned it so much that he's begging everybody he saw to abandon it. In fact, the way Paul preached against what he used to be, it was with anger. The only time there was an open contention between him and the apostolic elders that was at Jerusalem was in the matter of trying to bring down or mix again the thing he's coming out from. You know, for them, for the rest of the apostolic fathers, some of them, that's according to the scripture, some of them is not as neck deep in the Jewish religion, in Judaism, like Paul. If there was a man that should still be pushing that agenda, it should have been Paul. Am I correct? Yes, in fact, people like Peter and some of them, they are not really con. They still they shop con on Sunday. Are you getting what? So if there is anybody that should still be pushing, it's Paul. He's the one. So if he tells you to abandon this work and the Lord, listen to him. So the whole book of Galatians was devoted to debunking that opinion that they brought to the Jerusalem council. He said, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you again? How can you start in the spirit and end in the flesh? He said, I want to ask you, he that worketh miracles or ministered the Holy Ghost, does he do it by the works of the law or by grace? Are you getting what he's saying now? So he in fact, you can sense his anger in Galatians. How many of you have read Galatians? The first three chapters, you can sense his anger. So you mean you want to waste my work? You can see it literally. Oh, Paul. Are you getting the point? So if Paul, being who he is and how devoted he is to that path, came to a point and told you, leave that thing. You need to leave it. So Jesus said that it is not for you to walk, but to believe him who has what? Walked. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
There is a sense in which redemption has always been part of God's plan. It is in the sense, remember we are considering the essential newness of the new creature. It is in the sense that God has an extended project that was in his heart, of which the sin and the fall of man truncated. This is what I mean. What God wanted to give and build into man has not fully been met. The man that fell is an incomplete man, in a sense, because there is something yet God has not given to that man. Are you with me? There is something God has not given to that man. And that thing he has not given to that man is what we call eternal life. So follow me on this journey. As we journey, we will unpack these things I've just posed to you as questions. Are you getting the point? Now, for me to do a good job on this matter, you will now understand why I have to go back to the fundamentals of our redemption. And the redemption of man, according to the scripture, the redemption is standing, first of all, upon what we call the atonement. and I explained to you everything that concerns the atonement. Are you getting the point? And we began to analyze what is captured within this thing that is called atonement. And we said that the first one is what? Correct. Sacrifice. And we began to define the criteria of sacrifice. Many things we defined. Remember, it's a crash course. And one of the things that is clearly obvious is that a sacrifice is a sacrifice meeting the pleasure of the offended if the value is equal to what is required. For example, who has iPhone here? iPhone. Which phone are you using? Bring it, Samsung. Bring it. Okay, it's good. Somebody give me phone now. What's this? What's the name? You don't. What's the name of this one? Where is your iPhone? Good. So after me, sacrifice. Let's assume God told the two of them to sacrifice this. Can you follow me? Okay, let's leave it before joke will become true. Let's assume this iPhone. I know the history of this one. When they bought it, it was 545,000. I know this. This iPhone. I also know the history of this one. I know the history of the two of them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, by value, which one is bigger? This is Samsung. Hello? This is what? Samsung. Organizer. This is what?
Samsung.
This one is what?
iPhone.
You are correct. Which one is bigger?
Samsung.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you. This is about just over 100,000. This is 545. Even though it's... Are you seeing? We are not talking about physical size. It's value. So the value of... The market value of this is three times this one. So when we speak about sacrifice, value has to be determined fundamentally. So by value, if all of us die, we cannot save only one person. Are you getting the point? By value, if Jesus dies, he will save every man that has ever lived and that will ever live. So after me, by value. So God said, I don't want to gamble. What I'm going to do is to find what can the sacrifice that can yield me the most value. And then that's how Jesus came about. Are you getting the point? So according to the book of Isaiah chapter 6, say, whom shall we send and who will go for us? And then that thing Isaiah is saying, he doesn't know what he's saying. Is Jesus the... Are you getting the point? Did you see where they answered him? They allowed him to be taught. You don't know Bible. Sometimes you need to be humble. Even the people that spoke in the Bible as if they are the ones speaking, it has nothing to do with them. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. It doesn't have anything to do with that guy. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when the sacrifice of Jesus was brought, we found out first that he met up with God's demand of what can atone for what man suffered. Are you getting the point? So you can't just... Now, this determination is... This determination is not after the sacrifice. This determination is before. In fact, I can go through the scripture to show you many times that even on earth, after the incarnation, when the scriptures... When, you know, after the baptism of Jesus in with John, you can remember. What did John say? What did John say? Behold the Lamb... I'm not saying what God said. I'm saying what John said. Behold what? That what? So as of that time, Jesus, he has not died, but we have found a lamb that met what? The criteria. Behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. So he has met the criteria. So even from heaven, the voice came, this is my beloved son, in whom I am what? Well, what pleasure do you think God had in Christ? Is it because of what he did? It is because of whom he is, not what he did. That means God is trying to say, I checked the person of this man and found out that he is qualified to be the person of atonement. It is what we call the extended principal meaning of, like, let me use another example. You know that place that the Bible said, especially KJV, he said he shall lay gold like what? Just use another translation. Come back and tell me what he said. When you use another translation. Meanwhile, we have used that scripture to draw money and it came. Meanwhile, if you use another translation, it has nothing to do with what you were talking about. But this is the point. That principle of laying money as dust is also captured within the scripture. Are you getting the point? It is a principle. It is a thought pattern that is not dissociated from the principles of the scripture. And that is why even if you misquote, it will still happen if what we are looking for is captured within the general principle of this to become the kind of person he will use, is captured within the general principles of the scripture. But as for what God meant when he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, it is a salvific statement. It is what? A salvific statement. It is a testimony from heaven attesting to the fact that in Jesus we have met all the requirements of the sacrificial lamb. That Jesus is a pure Paschal. Because it's not every... We have actually been searching for Paschal from the beginning of the scripture. As soon as man sinned, the prophecy of God came out that the seed of the woman will bring. So Satan already knew that there is the seed of the woman that is coming. Now, he doesn't know how he's going to come. But from the life of Moses, we found out that the seed of victory will not come as a lion. He will not come domineering, even though that is what the Jewish... Stop praying. Listen to me. Listen to me first. Let's finish here. Is to tarry so that you can receive what? Power. That's your job. Forget about this physical thing. My kingdom is not from this world. If I want it, I will go and get it. The real challenge is not physical. There is a mother realm. There is a generating realm that controls what we are seeing here. What Satan took charge of from man was not just this physical earth. It is the spiritual earth. It's the cosmos. That's what we call this age. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what we call what? This age. I don't want to go there. There is somebody made a post on a post that I made. Sometimes the reason why I don't respond is that once I notice you already have a buyer, you have made up your mind. You know, the guy made a post on my page, said that you people, he now called two apostles in Abuja and then added my name there, that we should go back to the Bible. We don't know what we are saying. And then he said something. So whatever he was saying, I ignored it. You know, but had it been, he wanted scripture for scripture. Because I wrote something about the righteous man preserving the earth. That kind of preservation we are talking about is not necessarily this ground. There is a reconstitution that must happen. I'm not the one saying it. Just read the book of Acts chapter 3. He said that Jesus will be held up in the heavens until the reconstitution of all things. Things went chaos. The power of the Holy Ghost must prove that he has the ability to gather these things back to how it was. You don't even know where we're going. There is labor. That's actually what motivated me to give myself to groaning. What motivated me, I searched the scriptures. And I asked the Holy... I'm moving somewhere else. I asked the Holy Ghost, by what means will this reconstitution come back? He just took me to the book of Romans chapter 8. And then from there, he showed me other scriptures. Huh? That there is someone that kept this earth under subjection to vanity in hope that there is a time that will come, we will enter into liberty. Are you getting the point? He said, it is because of this that the Holy Spirit is now at work, helping us, so we together with the Holy Ghost. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
But that's not the point. So these guys are looking for a physical kingdom, but the Messiah is not a physical person. The Messiah is supposed to save as the Paschal. So the first thing about a sacrifice is that it must be tested, meeting the value and the requirements that is expected of such sacrifice. So even if this my sister wants to die for his family, it will not be accepted. Let's assume in honor, like me, love me so much, say, Papa, I will die for you. Don't die for me. If you die for me, I'm in trouble. If you die for me, I will go to hell. Yes. It's true. As serious as this thing I said is that serious? Are you married, sir? Ah, boy, you are looking old. What God that can have come for? Oga, remove that camera so that I will talk to somebody. I hope all is well. No, now. Hey, let me leave this man. He's a newcomer. Let me leave him. Are you married, sir? Very good. Don't worry, see that. Do you love your wife? And she loves you. You can't die for her. If you die for her, you want her to go to hell. Because even your sacrifice cannot be accepted for her sake. It's not qualified. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a serious matter. Is that serious? No matter how much your father likes you, no matter how much a mother loves the son. Eh? One day my wife said, he loves my son so much. Let me leave that story. Let me leave that story. You know, if you die for your child, though, you can't. If you die, your debt is wasted. And if that child banks on your debt, he's going to hell. So that's that for sacrifice. Amen?
Amen?
Number two, remittance. I'm taking it in order. So you need to draw it. Let's see the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. O scripture person. Are you learning so far?
Yes,
so I wrote here, remittance is the legal act of sending back what is owed. This is a very simple definition. If you start explaining it, it might be a little bit more robust than this. Remittance is the legal act of sending back what is owed or what was owed, which results in forgiveness. So I'm making it very simple. The reason why I'm saying this, do you get what I say? Let me come again. Remittance is the legal act of sending back what is owed or what was owed, which results in what? Forgiveness. So I added for that because of remission, God forgave and we keep forgiving. Because of remission, God what? Forgave and we what? Keep forgiving. So let me come again. Remittance is the, or remission, I prefer, don't use remittance. Sorry. They are close, but they are not the same. Use remission. Remission. Change it. Change it now before you forget. Before you say, Apostle said remittance. Please. You are following me online. Change it now. Write remission. Say after me, remission.
Remission.
Remission. Because if you say remittance, remittance, it cannot, must, It's not necessarily a debt. It's not necessarily a debt. Am I correct? But yeah, I'm correct, Abi. But remission is a debt. So remission is the legal act of sending back what was owed or what is owed, which results in forgiveness. Because of remission, God forgave and will keep what? Forgiving. Never forget this. So let me explain a little what I mean, and then we'll read the scripture as we move further. So this is it. It is not just that. I was telling the sisters, I don't even know whether I said it yesterday, but I was telling them, I think it was in yesterday's morning Bible study, I told them that mercy is God not giving you what you deserve, and grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Should I say it again? Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Like you deserve to die, and God didn't kill you. That thing is called mercy. Then grace is God giving you what you don't deserve, what you don't merit. It's unmerited. Are you getting the point? Like you don't deserve this, yet God gave it to you. That is grace. This is a very simple definition. I mean, you can get something more robust, but it helps you to picture where we are going easily so that we can go on. Am I correct? Sisters, you learned it in the morning. Am I correct? Good. So mercy is God. If it is what you deserve in Adam, is death. Because the Bible said that the wages of sin is what? Death. There are several other things that you deserve in Adam. Then there are the ones you deserve in yourself. Because Adam did his own, but we have done our own too. Not be so? There are several people following, some people following online. Some people, they are cultists, they are occultic men, they have killed. Yet they are pastors. Are you getting the point? So if you accuse, so there are two things we are dealing with. We are dealing with what Adam did, that he did. You know how Adam did it? Huh? This is how he did it. He said, okay, it's me and Josh doing it. Write Josh's name as somebody, the one doing it. He said, they never born and they will burn him into. I said, write his name, you are telling me. That's how Adam did it. They never born. I said, write the name of people where they never born another. We are going there together to do it together. You don't know what happened. It's a terrible thing that happened to us, brother. We are trying to remove ourselves. We are trying to remove ourselves. He said, put them. He said, what of Moses? Adam. Elijah, Uncle? Adam. David, Uncle? Ah, wahala deo. Joseph, the father of Jesus, Uncle? Paul, Uncle? Peter, Uncle? John, Uncle? What of Dennis? What of OJB? Huh? Let's look for people that are holy. What of my sister Chidema? Add her on top the list, on top. The more holier you are in the natural righteous, the more disqualified you are. Is that terrible? That means, let me even tell you. Eh? You know those guys that sinned, you know, after Adam sinned 100 years, 300, their sin, as bad as it is, in a sense, is less than your own. Because if the sin of Adam is still on your record, it means that your own sin is 2,000 plus, or whatever years old this world has lasted. You're not with me. Why is Adam? Why is Abraham? Their own is 1,000, 2,000. Your own is about 7,000 years or whatever years that has been counted. Because it's the same sin. You are carrying it. It has aged. Are you getting? I'm matured. Bakwara. Bulap wobi. It is not a different sin, no? Hello? It's not a different sin that is being paid for. It's the same one that Adam committed. And it has matured over the years. And you appeared, carried your own. You thought you just appeared. According to that sin, that as soon as you were born, they took you back to where you sinned in Adam. That's why when you get born again, they take you back to Christ. No man moves forward in God without going back to Christ first. It's not possible. That is the only way we can clean the slate. You must be traced to an origin. Hello? And there are only two origins in humanity. Monday! There are only two origins for humanity. Are you getting the point? According to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's either your origin is in Adam or in Christ. So we have two originals. Every other person is printed plate. Two originals. And you cannot move forward in living or existence without a tracing to an original. Are you getting the point? That will become the foundation, the reference point for your existence or life. Now, the challenge that the man that wrote the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 unedited is that he said that before we were taken to the original called Christ, we were taken first to the original Adam. Are you getting it? So it's a little bit of a complication. But that complication is sorted in the scriptures in Christ. Can you follow me? Are you with me?
Yes,
stay here, stay. So if you were, you see how it happens. Even when you are born again, up till now, there was, how many years have you been born again now? Forget your mistake. What, how long you say Jesus come into my life? Huh? You don't born 18 years. Hey! Ah, you're supposed to teach Apostle Paul by now. Pastors! Hey, you are ancient of days, bro. 18 years. Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the story with many of us anyway. Of course, you know that how many years I'm born again means little in knowing God. It is what happened in those years anyway. Amen? Now, let me tell you something. Even if you made progress all those 18 years, you did not come to a point where you improved on what you received that first time. You didn't hear me. You did not come to a point where I now improved beyond what I like. You improved on Christ. You know the way you now study, you now improved on Christ. For every single journey, all the improvements and journeys, transitions and ascensions you will ever have in this new covenant is ascensions in Christ. If it is outside, it has become an ambit, an environment that the kingdom cannot capture, that the heavens are not aware of. Are you getting the point?
Yes,
that means anytime you made progress in this kingdom, you actually went back first. You are not getting it. You went back to Christ, reckoned with a reality, then moved forward. Because that reality is not new. It is part of the full package that was installed at new birth. The experience of which is variable, captured in the same several planes. Said we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Like the heavenly places are where? In Christ. So the major thing I want to bring out here is that there are places where? In Christ. So you will see people ascending into places in Christ. But before you ascend, you go back to Christ first. Are you getting? That is the principal work of revelation. The principal work of revelation, the revelation of Christ as the rock by which we build in the kingdom, is that it is something we touch and ascend. So all heights and all buildings that are sure in God are buildings that came as a result of men going back, encounter a revelation. And by that revelation, they shoot far. Now, don't think about these things I'm teaching with your natural sense. Because the going back and moving forward can happen in 2 minutes. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
now, the 2 minutes of human time, of natural time, rather. So in 1 minute, you went back when the word hit you. In another minute, you went far and laid hold on something. So it happened. Just like all these things I'm teaching now, atonement and all these things, I hope you know, for many of us, all of them happened in 5 minutes. But for proper grip, because Satan walks around the environment of ignorance, understanding helps you to replicate a spiritual experience. Understanding helps you to what? At will. So if something happens spiritually and you don't understand, you don't have understanding of the workings around it, tomorrow, if you have need of that, you will not know how to re-engineer it again. Is it not true? But if you really and actually understood what happened, tomorrow you can re-engineer it. In Lagos, you can what? Re-engineer it. In US, you can what? Re-engineer it. In Zambia, you can what? Re-engineer. Anyway, that is a proof. And understanding is the foundation of mastery. So when a man understands something, he is on the journey to mastery. And then he now keeps practicing it. Keeps practicing it. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so keep my scripture once in a while in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. So as I was telling you people of remission, so this is what is remission. You did something wrong. And then when you did that thing wrong, it cost me. Are you getting the point? So later on, you came back and paid for what I lost when you did something wrong. Can you understand this? That payment you paid for what was wrong is what is called remission. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, if you go to several places in the, just one or two, a few places, if you go to several places in the scripture, you will see the word remission and forgiveness used interchangeably. Interchangeably. They are not exactly the same. See, I will show you in this book of Hebrews chapter 19, doctrinally, remission happens once. It doesn't happen twice for the believer. In fact, as I showed you in our definition, forgiveness is hanging upon remission. Let me explain further what I meant by this thing. One day, I think me and Dennis, we are together. Where I think went for a program in Makurdi one time. So we were together. I think was he in my car that day? That time we were driving one place. I was rushing to. Okay, you people were not even in my car, but you people later came. So this is what happened. I was driving to meet up. Person was supposed to carry me, didn't carry me, and I was driving to meet up. As I was driving, you know that my car sometimes. Sometimes people like we met David and AGK that we understand. Sometimes you will know you are speeding. Thing just be only who can make it. It will just be doing. So I did. I did not know that I packed sand and stone, small stone. And then the thing hit on the vehicle behind me. The guy was chasing me. If I knew he was chasing me, I would disappear. But I didn't know he was chasing me. He thought I was actually running away from him. If I was running away from him, I would hit 140. But I was just trying to meet up with where I was going. So the guy carried his Camry 2.2, drove and then blocked me and jumped out. Like he actually felt he caught up with me and blocked me. He was saying, I can feel the way he is proud of his car. Now, this is where the story now began. He now told me this thing spoiled, this one spoiled. He was there. Was telling me all the things that spoiled. I said, okay, I'm going for somewhere important, so I don't have time to argue. How much are all this? The guy got more angry. I want to differentiate remission and forgiveness. Follow me now. Just because you paid back what you owed somebody doesn't mean the person has forgiven you. But he will be the basis for that forgiveness. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So, there are people, If somebody is rich, a very rich man, you mistakenly broke something in his car, the next thing he wants you to do is to lie down on the ground and be begging. Because if you ask him how much is it, he even feel more angry. Because he knows that him can't collect that money. If he collects that money, he's lowering himself. It's a disgrace on him to collect that your money. So he gets more angry and more angry. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that was what was happening. Those guys, what they were telling me, what they want is for me to come and be begging and be telling them all the story. But I was quiet and tell, what? How much is it? I was not saying it in the sense that I want to. I was saying it in the sense that they are actually wasting my time. And number two, I don't like all this wahala, road wahala. Okay, something happened. I didn't even argue with him. Just tell me how much. I just take him. My highest, it will be 10K. That's what I... The man, as I was saying, the man, they verse more. They verse. I said, what is this? Are you getting the point? That's when I found out, just because you paid back doesn't mean forgiveness has... But you have to pay back first. So the forgiveness we had in Christ is because of the sacrifice that brought remission. Are you getting the point? So first of all, what happened is that a sacrifice was made, and that sacrifice was what, through which, what we owed. There is a debt we owed. When man sinned in Adam, we owed a debt. So remission is going back to pay that debt that we owed. And because that debt we owed was paid once by the sacrifice of Jesus, God was now consistently willing to forgive. Not just forgiving us the first time that you got born again, but to keep forgiving us. So anytime you ask for forgiveness, he's not forgiving you because of yourself. He said, how God for Christ's sake forgave us. He didn't just forgive us for Christ's sake. He kept forgiving us for Christ's sake. Are you getting the point? So let's read this scripture. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to... Are you sure? I hope you are correct. I don't have time to go back now. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Next verse. By a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through what? The veil. That is to say what? That is to say what? And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Walk up pure water, near wheel. Washed with pure water. Let us hold... Is this my scripture? Jesus Christ. Why do you want to... Help me, Holy Ghost. Where did I call? It's Hebrews 9, am I correct? Show me Hebrews 9. I'm reading this thing, it's sounding strange. For when Moses has spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of cows and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Next verse. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God had enjoined unto you. Next verse. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Next verse. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood without shedding of blood. Is no remission. There is something else I'm looking for. Amen. Let me open my own mind. Maybe it's in my eyes. Verse what did we start from? 18. Let's start from verse 18, sorry. 10:18. 10:18. Okay. Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, ready, go. Pay attention and read. You don't know what you just read now. Let's read it again. 1, 2, ready, go. Now, that one that is in the book in chapter 9 is also valid. But I want to show you something here. Where remission is, where we have remitted what was required, there is no need again for another offering. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a one-time payment. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Is what? A one-time payment. It's either the payment, they don't collect half. You know when you want to pay? You say, you know the way we pay here. You are owing somebody 40,000. You gave the person 10,000. Person say, where are all my money? I told you, jide godu nkiji, when you can't do, you have to tomorrow. That's what they used to say here. You can reject the 10K and tomorrow is no more there. They don't pay like that here. It's one-time payment. Yeah? If you are owing 40,000 and pay 10, when you come back, you will not pay 30, you will still pay 40. It's one-time payment. It's either he meets it or he didn't meet it. You appear, you pay. If you pay 95, you come back, you start from 1. That's how it's done. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is on the basis of this remission that God now forgave. So we are owing a debt we could not pay, but he paid the debt. Now God extended, he now forgave us because that debt has been what? If you are blessed so far, say amen.
Amen.
Let me run to the third one. The third one on this part is what we call
prostitution.
Oh, I've told you people. That's serious. I was hiding my note. I didn't know I was exposed. So after me, propitiation. Scripturally, I did further studies. There is supposed to be two aspects in propitiation. But there is another one aspect that is added from my studies. So let's read the scripture first. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19. Sorry, I like the book of Hebrews a lot. There is so much revelation there. Many things would have been in dark if it's not for the book of Revelation. For when Moses has spoken every precept to all the people according to the law. Say after me, according to the law. What did he do? And did what? And what? And what? Don't forget. So there are three major parts of propitiation. The first part is satiation, satisfaction. You would have heard people teach it. I think that's one of the most important, the crux, the foundation of many grace teachers. They always emphasize on the fact that God's heart is satisfied. That's not the only thing that happened. That's not the only thing that happened. But that's one of the things that happened. Amen?
Amen?
So in propitiation, we have three things. Number one, satiation. Like somebody is sated, like he's satisfied. Number two is expiation. And number three is cleansing. So I will join two scriptures together. Let's see verse 20. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God had enjoined unto you. Next verse, quickly. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. So he sprinkled the altar, sprinkled the people, sprinkled the tabernacle, and sprinkled the vessels with that blood. Let's see Leviticus. Now, these things I'm teaching you is the shape of the realm that brought you what you had. The reason why we are bringing this light and this doctrinal reaffirmation is for you to understand the things you believe and reaffirm the things that you accepted. You might have accepted something, but you cannot properly link up all the organogram in the scripture. Very important. Because the reason why Satan can cheat you out is if you can't prove. If you bring light like this and say there is light, and somebody asks you, prove how you got the light. That's where the wahala is. And he tells, because you can't prove where you got this light, I will not accept it. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 3. Quickly. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Next verse. He shall put on the holy linen coat. He shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle. Now, wow, linen. And with the linen mitre shall he be attired. Hey. These are what?
Holy garments.
Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. God don't save us in Christ. Though. If I read further, he said that if this guy no take him bath, listen. Let me explain what he means. He means a pastor that came to preach without taking his bath in the morning will die. It's in your Bible now. There are a number of people that would have died. Emeka Bright, we would have declared. Hey, almost all my brothers here, they fall under you. If you like spray perfume, they say you need to buy. Bro, if I don't die. Oh, guy, if I don't die. What are you telling me? You know what? Say after me again, thank God for Jesus.
Thank God for Jesus.
Sometimes we even almost forgot to brush our teeth. We just managed to brush our teeth and do magic and came out. They say, Aaron, Oga, go and take your bath. You are going to die. Let's see the next verse quickly. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel, what? Two kids of the goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So, you see something. Do you notice something quickly here? That for the children of Israel, goat was demanded. But for the high priest, what was demanded? A bullock. That means the sacrificial demand on the priesthood is far higher than the sacrificial demand on the congregation. On all levels and all faiths, you can translate, you can extend the meaning everywhere. You can't be operating at the same level a pastor with your congregation. They can't be praying for 15 minutes. You too, you are praying 15 minutes. They can't be studying the same way. They can't be fasting. They can't be consecrating. They can't be giving, sacrificing the same way. And many times, when the congregation pushes themselves to go further than a pastor, a priest is doing, and the man refuses to approximate, what God will do is to take those sheep away and give to another person. And what pastors do is now to start doing witchcraft manipulation. To keep the people. All you need to do is to up your game. That's all. Step up. What do you do? Step up. You can't see a pastor stepping up and people are leaving. It's not possible. Anybody that leaves is harming himself. When you see such men, you will know. Strike for me. When you see such men, you will know. They are confident in what they carry. They will allow you to run around. I've done it a few times. If it is not because of the authority of competence, you know they see many man of God. You know where you are coming from? Mozambique. It's too far. You came here, sat down. We barb your hair, keep you. Made you one of us. You came like this. I say, yeah, this big man. The way where you fresh when I see you for. Hey, I say, yes, show him. Where is this Agric file that appeared in Sabo? I looked at his hands. He was looking like baby hands. I looked at his shoes. There's a way you used to dress. You were at the back. You were doing like. But I looked at him. He loved God, but his body was weak. He loved God so much, but his body not the grew. I gave him 2 weeks. 2 weeks, but the guy there. Now we have unclothed you. On the other kindness. Then we gave him something. Reduce a little, brother. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Show me my scripture, please. And he shall take of the congregation of Israel, of the children of Israel, 2 kids of the goat for a sin offering. Next verse, quickly. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for what?
Himself.
God. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast what? Lots. Upon what? The 2 goats. 1 lot for who? And the other lot for who? There's a lot of mythology around the scapegoat. We'll just leave it where the scripture stopped. Amen? And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the lost lot fell and offer him for what? A sin offering. Next verse. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat. Into where? Can you see what is happening here? 2 goats. One is going the direction of God. The other is going the direction into the wilderness. So there are 2 things that Jesus did. There are 2 things. Are you getting the point? That's what propitiation is. For the full measure of propitiation to be achieved, God did something to you. Are you getting the point? 2 things happened. Something happened to God and something happened to you. One of the goats was going to God. One of the goats was going to you. Because you can be termed as that wilderness. That means that there is something that needs to be dealt with in the heart of a man. There is a claim that Satan is making. The throne of the old man is still there. It takes a sacrifice to pay the old man what is being owed. And I hope you know that anytime the old man is, and anywhere he is the representation of the seat of Satan. What man became by falling into sin and becoming subject to Satan is what we call the old man. What we became by submitting into Christ is what we call the new man. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the first goat went to God to satisfy the heart of God. The second goat, as I will read to you now, they took all the sins. Listen to me. There is no sin that went to God. God recognized the fact that there is a capacity, a sin nature. That is after me, sin nature. There is a sin nature that is inside of a man. So first goat went and appeased God in his anger and displeasure with man.
second goat went to deal with the sin nature. So as we are going to read here, next verse, show me next verse quick. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. Next verse. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of the fire from up the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beating small, and bring it within the veil. Next verse. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, and that cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. Next verse. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with... Not past. Okay, T21. Good. Good. And mercy seat, before the mercy seat, and he shall sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. Next verse. And then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people. Bring his blood within the veil and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat before the mercy seat. Next verse. Then he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgression in all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring what? When he has finished this inside labors, all these inside labors is to appease God. You see all these inside labors, they are to appease who? God. After you have appeased God, it has not ended. There is a nature of sin you had from Adam. If we don't deal with that nature of sin, it's not enough that God is not happy with you. You cannot conquer sin. You cannot receive spiritual things. Are you getting the point? This is the most important thing. Have you heard that scripture? You cannot take... We are coming there. That is actually the essentials that we are looking at. The scripture said, you can't take a new wine and pour it into an old wineskin. What is the new wine? What is the skin? Are you getting where I'm going? That is a nature that we have that is old. So even if God wants to pour something new, he can't pour it into that. Nature is skin. Are you getting the point? The sin nature is a skin. It needs to be expunged. Need to be sent away like the scapegoat. The memory of the nature of sin has to be abolished, blotted out. Needs to be dealt with. If God dealt with sins and didn't deal with the nature, nothing has happened. Because the real challenge God had with man in his sin is actually what? The nature. He shall bring the live goat. Next verse. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the live goat. What does he do to this goat now? This is not the goat you slaughter. This is the goat you what? Send away. So you see it. In propitiation, there are things. Look at Abasiodot. It's time to close. There is a goat you send away. There is a goat you present to God. So two things were happening. Now remember, the uniqueness of the sacrifice of Jesus is that in one sacrifice, we captured all the goats, all the bulls, all the calves, all the meanings of all the sacrifices in their shades. We are captured in one sacrifice. By one sacrifice, he entered once and for all to the holy place. He obtained an eternal salvation for them that believed. So instead of killing this goat for this, kill this one for this, do this, do this, we gave Jesus. In Jesus is the goat of the sin offering. In Jesus is the goat of the burnt offering. In Jesus is the goat of the heave offering. In Jesus is the goat of the cleansing offering. In Jesus is the goat of any offering. Bring the blood of Jesus. All sacrifice has ended. All demands have been met. Even the one God is making has been satisfied. The one Satan is making has been what? Satisfied. Just bring the blood. Bring it. Three things happen, brother. We went to the heart of God and said, what's your anger? God told us all his anger and displeasure. He said, sir, sit down. We have solution. They began to bring the blood. We brought it to a point. God said, it's enough. My heart is satisfied. They called Satan. They said, what's your claim? He said, this man has my nature. He said, this is your goat. Collect it. So the blood sat. They gave Satan more than he needed. So it is not just that God was satisfied. Satan too, his claims was dealt with. It is on that sacrifice that the nature of sin was paid and expunged from you. Are you getting the point? The difference between the believer and the unbeliever majorly is this nature, that thing. It is a chain nature. Certainly a chain nature. That is the major thing. No matter the good a man does in a nature that is unchained, it is an abomination before God. The days of your works acceptable before God will be reckoned when the nature has changed. That is the beginning of the manifestation of the works of Christ in your life. God hates the old nature. He hates the sin nature. The works, remember, man before the days that the new nature came has been doing good things and getting God more angry. Then we, having the new nature, has not done anything and he said he's satisfied. Is it to work again? Or rather to believe him that has worked? If you want to work, keep working. I will not allow Satan to convince me, deceive me back to what I used to be. When you spoke in tongues, how much did you pay? Huh? When you got born again, how much did you pay? What is bigger than your born again experience? How is that thing that is telling you, come and say, what I need is to fast for 3 months, is because I didn't fast or because I lost this game. That's why it's a lie. It's a lie. Don't succumb to that. Thank God we are a praying people. I tell you, the things God is doing is because he has willed to do it. He said, this prayer is our part to play. Prayer without Jesus and what he did is nonsense. Satan has finished you. Satan will like you to suffer in that prayer for long, knowing that Jesus is not the one that motivated it. If Satan can't stop you from engaging spiritual things, he will try to remove Christ from it so that it will be an effort of the flesh. So after me, I step out of the flesh. I step into the spirit. I want you to pray for 1 minute and say, Lord, wherever I have made the mistake of showing my strength, showing my ability, I'm forgetting that it's all about Christ. Deliver me. You know, sometimes it will leave our mind, it will escape our mind, and we forget. Remind me, deliver me. I come by the blood, I come in the blood. Show me this. I cannot be praying for what you have prayed for. I cannot be suffering for you. I cannot. Something must be wrong somewhere. Forgive me. Deliver me from it. If Jesus has paid for it, you have no business paying again. It's an error. Affliction cannot arise the second time. That's what it means. The affliction is on Christ. Why is he coming again on you?
Before we continue again, very important, we need to consider three major things in regeneration, which is the next one. First one is justification. The second one is made alive. Third one is gifted life. Being made alive and being gifted life is not the same. We are going to see it tomorrow. The Lord bless you. You can give your gifts and offering. Father, we bless the offering and the people that is following us online. The Lord bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Look for 13 people. If it's a guy, hug the guy. If you're a guy, if it's a sister, hug your fellow sister. If it's guy to sister, shake their hands. Where are you sitting? Who will hug you now? Who are you? Look for somebody to hug and greet. People online, hug somebody online. Where is that? Our brother from U.S. Apostolic Center, Maryland, that is always greeting us.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edubu Dejiku, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edubu Dejiku. God bless you.